Welcome to American Players Theater Portable Prologues. I'm Buzz Kemper, and I invite you to enrich your Play in the Woods experience by joining Orin Schroeder as she speaks with director Kira Fromm and actors Kelsey Brennan and Phoebe Gonzalez about APT's 2023 production of The Liar by David Ives, adapted from La Monture by Pierre Cornell.
I'm delighted to have Kira, Kelsey, and Phoebe here with me to talk about The Liar by David Ives, which is adapted from La Monture by Pierre Corneille. And it's a wonderful adaptation of a very old play. David Ives is an American playwright who's known for adapting French 17th and 18th century classical comedies. And he calls his translations translaptations instead of translations because he says that he assists the plays a bit. He adds subplots, trims long speeches that might not play today, and makes other changes in the language. So I wanted to ask if any of you could speak to that, what role David Ives plays and what is from the original from Pierre Corneille.
Yeah, you said a good chunk of it from what Ives says, I think, in the intro to this play, Orange. But yeah, this play is sort of notoriously slim, the original, the Pierre Corneille. And so he has added some characters. He's made sure that each character has an arc. He maximizes comedy. He provides a little bit of depth. So it's not purely translation, it's not purely adaptation, hence translaptation. There are some characters that appear in this, in The Liar, that truly do not exist at all in La Monture. So he's really sort of supplemented and given everybody sort of a complete A to B and maximized the things that worked and minimized the things that don't.
Can you explain to us what you mean by an A to B?
Oh, yeah. Well, just that every character is going on a journey, that they start in one particular place and they finish in quite a different place, and that each character, he's tended to that journey.
Kelsey or Phoebe, do you want to talk about how that applies to your characters?
Well, so two things. One, this is actually an adaptation of an adaptation, because the original play is actually in Spanish. It's called La Verdad Sospechosa. And I didn't realize that until I was prepping for this interview, and I wish I had known. What a good title. Two, I think that, you know, any play, French or Spanish or otherwise, written in the 17th century is certainly going to have a different approach to how it discusses women than, say, a play written in the 18th, 19th, or our current century. So I know that the relationships have been expanded from what they were in the original. And I know that, like, my character, Clarice, and I, you know, I can't speak for Kelsey here, but, like, certainly gets to do a lot more of, like, the body comedy than I think was traditionally afforded to female characters back then. So that certainly feels like an update that is relevant to my role.
And I think you haven't done a lot of comedy roles. Is that true, Phoebe?
It's actually kind of mainly what I do here. but outside of American Players Theater, and certainly when I was in school, I was primarily, yes, playing roles in which I suffered a lot. So this is sort of the place that I come to, and I get to be a bit of a clown, although a clown with a, you know, beating heart, because those are the best kinds.
And Kelsey, what about you have two characters.
I do have two characters. I play two very different women who are familiar to each other. You know, I like Phoebe, very much serve a purpose in this play, and it's to kind of move along the plot, to serve the different subplots. You know, both these women are clowns, and I don't know if I've got a full A to B, but the best way I know to play a clown is to infuse all of the different circumstances and scenes with as much absurdity and truth as you can fit in there, and it's a great time. So if I find a full character arc in there, hallelujah.
Phoebe just mentioned that the play originally had been in Spanish and then in French. So I was wondering, Kara, if you can talk a little bit about the language of David Ives' play in English. How does he write?
Well, this play is written in iambic pentameter and rhyming couplets. So we've got, for the most part, there's, you know, an exception to the rule here or there, but for the most part, like lots of Shakespeare, you've got iambic pentameter, which is, you know, 10 syllables, and they're rhyming couplets, so the ends of each lines are rhyming with one another. And there's just a great amount of comedy to be had there. He manages to somehow push the story forward and get the necessary information out to the audience and to the characters, while really sort of giving a nice little, you know, zing here or there and really sort of baiting the audience along, wondering how this rhyming couplet's going to complete. And sometimes it completes exactly as you imagine it might. And other times he takes you a totally different direction, which is delightful in its own right.
I can't imagine there are too many American playwrights writing in rhyming iambic pentameter today. That's really...
No, not at all. It's sort of like, you know, it's a new frontier. What a cool opportunity to be able to watch a play that's written in that style. It's definitely, you know, gone away. It's not our usual artistic fare nowadays.
And APT's company is used to this kind of language. I would think that not every company could handle that as seamlessly as I assume that everybody at APT does.
Oh, you charm us, Orange.
So I want to talk a little bit about what this production is going to look like. What is Andrew Boyce's set like and Holly Payne's costumes?
Well, I've said for a long time that this play was really inspired by A Bag of Jolly Ranchers. And I'm only really like 2% kidding about that comment. In our
she
early
has
stages.
Said it.
I've said it probably too many times, but in our early stages of developing the environment of the play, the designers and I determined that it feels truly like eating a bag of candy, specifically Jolly Ranchers. It's delightful, it's addictive, it's extremely colorful, it's extremely satisfying, it's a little too much sometimes, but it hits the right spot all the time. So I think you can expect a lot of energy in the design and a lot of color and a bit of excess.
And I don't know if Kelsey and Phoebe, if you've seen your wigs yet, can you talk about those at all?
Oh, I go out of my way to walk past the wig room because I'm very excited about it. It is this beautiful, bizarre, delightful, in a very Jolly Rancher way, I suppose, blend of, you know, Baroque-inspired silhouettes with, like, avant-garde high fashion from, like, last year. So you're going to see some really anachronistic looks up there. But I think what is so smart about Holly's design and so playful about everything the wig shop has been doing with this lavender wig I'm going to be wearing is it welcomes the audience into, okay, this play is not going to be realistic. One of the first things that our fearless leader, Cliton, played by Josh Krause, an actor that I'm sure audiences will be very familiar with if they've been coming for the last couple of years, says is to like turn your brain off, which doesn't mean that you won't maybe learn something or see something from a new perspective. But like, we are here for like a riotous good time. And when people get angry or when people get when their feelings hurt or when something potentially scary happens, like all of those things are felt, but we're not as worried about these characters as we might be if we were, say, watching a Pinter play.
And Kelsey, I assume you have two costumes and two wigs?
Maybe. I have two variations of very similar costumes, but I love what Phoebe said about this marriage between a Baroque style and a more anachronistic style, because that really is the foundation of that idea. I think comes from the language, because we are using, there is some beautiful language and it is an iambic pentameter and it is rhyming, but we're also using some slang that you might hear a middle schooler say on the street. And that's on purpose. And that's the beauty of this play, is that you can get swept away by it. But Ives is also going to remind you that we're here to have a good time and we're here to laugh at ourselves. So hopefully, and I'm sure they will, because Holly Payne is a genius, as are our Ways artisans. I'm sure that the visual parts of the play will reflect the fun Jolly Rancher time that we found in the script.
And does the set also reflect that?
Oh, 100%. some really poppy peacock blues and very zesty key lime green tones. So we decided we would, you know, we wanted to treat all of your senses as an audience member, both in the visual world, the audio world. It should be a good time for all of your senses.
That sounds like so much fun. I wanted to ask about the plot or the content of the play in terms of the French making us rethink the notions of love. And I should mention, obviously, the Spanish roots also, which, Phoebe, I wasn't aware of either. So what does
Me
the
Me neither,
the
until
say?
Today.
I know. Well, there you go. We all learned something. Kira, what would you like to say to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I don't know. This is maybe my point of view of what we have to learn from the French notions of love. But when I think of the French notions of love, I think the sort of the big feelings, the sort of grandiosity, grand proposals, a sort of sense of excess, a sense of like, I would do anything for this love. And that certainly transcends from the French to what we're experiencing right now in this play, in this current moment.
And I wanted to mention that when you said that the play is really a good time, Kira had been quoted as saying that laughter is critical to our well-being, and so that's going to be a great part of what we see. This is your first play up the hill, isn't it, Kira?
That's true.
How does that differ from directing in the Touchstone?
Honestly, I mean, first of all, it's just magic being outdoors. It's just magic. And it's such a delight, and it's such a good container for a play like this that is about love and excess and adventure and excitement. And honestly, it's, you know, it hasn't been totally disorienting, apart from the fact that it's about five times the size of the Touchstone Theater, a lot more space to fill, but it does also have a really great sense of intimacy too. And I think the design is really smart in that it's, you know, the platform is a sort of circle. So it keeps us sort of like all in a more contained, part of the stage that sort of lends itself to intimacy in a way. But yeah, it's just been a delight being outdoors. A big French farce, you know, in the woods is just a dream. It's just been a dream, especially with this group of people.
Although quite different than the way the French would have seen it.
Truly.
And I have a little concern about, Baroque wigs when it's 90 degrees out. Is that something that you take into account?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they do. I don't ask me how they take it into account, but I'm sure that they do, because everyone's aware of the weather here in the woods.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I understand, what they told me as I walked by the wig room just for fun yesterday, is that because of how styled all of our wigs are, not just the women's, because of how what a large swing we're taking at character in terms of appearance, every wig is going to be reset. So like recurled, restyled, resprayed, put product back in it for every single performance. Sometimes with other shows up the hill, depending on how intensely designed or like how big the hair is, they might not need to do a full reset, a full reapplication of products. But because of how high these wigs are going to sit, I think that every single wig will be, you know, quite a work, quite a bit of work for our lovely wig artisans up the hill with us.
How big is the wig shop?
Oh gosh.
How many people?
I feel like there's like six or eight.
Five to six.
Imagine that this play is a dream for them in a way, because they can't wait to bring these amazing creations to life. And it sounds like the whole play is just going to be a visual delight. We'll have to tell the refreshment stand to stock up on Jolly Ranchers so we can
keep gummy bears work too, the spring green favorite.
I love the gummy bears at APT. It's great. So, and I know that the tickets are going really fast for this play because people can't wait to see this company doing this play. So thank you for all your work on it, and we can't wait to see it up the hill.
Thank you, Orange.
Thanks so much for having a great
time. Thank you.
Portable Prologues is a co-presentation of American Players Theater, Orange Tree Imports, and Audio for the Arts Recording Studio. Our sincere thanks to the actors and directors who spoke with us, as well as to Sarah Young, Hannah Jo Anderson, and everyone at APT. Your host is Orange Schroeder. Our theme song is Play in the Woods, an original composition written by me for use in these podcasts. I'm Buzz Kemper. Thank you for listening.